Welcome and good morning. The service today, you will find printed the order of service in your service bulletin beginning on page 1. Please note that the first hymn, 12, is noted on the hymn board. The opening hymn is on the last page of your worship bulletin. Let us open with prayer. O most gracious Father, open our hearts to sincere worship and our lips to show forth your praise. Guide us through your Spirit to eliminate any sinful weakness which might interfere with our worship this morning, so that the faithful meditation of your people proclaims the excellencies of Jesus, who died that we might live, and who evermore lives that we may never die. Amen. This day at thy creating word, Begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us. And for his sake, grant us remission of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives the power to become children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
Amen.
The Lord has risen. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer on the third day and rise from the dead.
And that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem.
I have set the Lord always before me.
Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken.
The stone that the builders rejected, the Lord has turned my mourning into dancing.
The Lord loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom,
and might and honor and glory and blessing.
To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Glory be to God.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Forevermore. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray that by your grace, you will help us to continue to celebrate our Lord's resurrection by bearing its fruits in every aspect of our daily life, This we pray through the Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and rules with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's first Bible lesson is drawn from John's first epistle in the first chapter, and then continuing on into the early part of the second chapter, he speaks of the fellowship which we as Christians enjoy with the Lord through faith in Christ, the resurrected Savior, and also the fellowship that we enjoy, like-minded fellowship based on the Lord's word with one another. We read in 1 John 1:1 and following, "That which was from the beginning, which we've heard and which we've seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be made complete. This is the message we've heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation, that is, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Here ends the first lesson. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Our next Bible lesson is drawn from Luke's Gospel, his account of Jesus' resurrection appearance to the disciples on Easter afternoon.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled and why did doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. And he said to them, "These are the words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Here ends the second lesson.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
I invite you to stand as we confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is written in the book of Acts in the fifth chapter, beginning with verse 5. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in their midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So far the text. In Jesus' name, dear Christian friends, last week we considered Luke's account in Acts chapter 3 of Peter and John paying a visit to the temple precinct at Jerusalem to pray, where they met up with a poor beggar man who was sitting at the beautiful gate, a man who had been born lame, and his acquaintances had brought him there to the temple gate in order that he might ask people for alms. And when Peter saw him, he said, "I don't have any money to give you, but what I will give you, what I do have." And he then directed the man, as we heard last Sunday, to get up and walk in Jesus' strong name, and he was instantly healed of his physical disability. And then he accompanied the apostles into the temple, jumping for joy and praising God. And then we heard how Peter delivered that glorious Easter sermon on Solomon's portico, which the Spirit then used to bring many hundreds to anchor their hopes for forgiveness, life, and salvation in the crucified and risen Jesus. As wonderful an event as that was, a lame man being cured of a congenital health issue, many souls led to faith to find comfort for their lives now and hereafter in Christ. Not all gathered in the temple that day received Peter's message with positivity. There were a group who strongly disapproved of what Peter had done and said, and whose hearts were in fact filled with indignity and anger. And in today's sermon, we're going to consider this aftermath of Peter's healing the lame man as Luke records it in Acts 4. And we want to receive encouragement from this text to praise the powerful name of the resurrected Christ, because though it is often rejected by many in unbelief, it's a name that God himself chose, and it's the only name that saves us. So the particulars of what happened in the aftermath of the healing of the lame man, Luke informs us that as Peter and John were speaking to the people, these priests, and then the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees confronted them, deeply annoyed, and then they arrested the apostles and they put them in jail with the intention of questioning them about their actions the following day, since the hour was getting late. And then the next morning, these rulers and elders and teachers of the law called a special meeting to deal with this unpleasant matter. And among the attendees were Annas, remember him, and Caiaphas from Jesus' trials, others of the high priest's family, and then they brought in the two apostles, made them stand right in the front of them, and then asked, "By what power? And in whose name did you do these things? How did you give that lame beggar fellow who hadn't walked a day in his life the ability to ambulate without any problems?" Now we need to understand, friends, what was really going on here, what lay behind this action of the religious hierarchy to seize Peter and John, jail them, and subject them to a battery of questions. They'd been successful, they thought, putting a stop to the Jesus movement when they instigated his execution. They thought, nobody is going to follow a dead Messiah who has been stamped as accursed by being crucified as a criminal. And now these disciples of his are still talking about him and preaching about him and healing people supposedly in his name. What really got their goat was the apostles proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead, and especially the Sadducees. They were a religious sect who rejected outright the teaching of an afterlife. They believed that when a person's body dies, so does their soul. Forefathers of people in our own day who think, you know, when you die, that's it. You pass out of existence forever. And they'd also remembered how Jesus had preached about giving eternal life to all who trust in him, and had predicted his own rising from the grave. And if that were true, they reasoned, then people are going to believe in him and trust in him as their Savior. And it's going to dash to smithereens our contention of there not being any afterlife. It also dawned on them that if what Peter and John were saying were true, Jesus is alive, it's going to mean that he could raise others from death to life as well. And we can't have any people preaching about that. And so the decision they came to after their interrogation was that they threatened the apostles and they sternly ordered them not to speak anymore in Jesus' name. And you read later on in the chapter, then Peter and John's reaction, response, they said, "Whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to the Lord, you be the judge, for we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard," which the disciples then went out, of course, and did in Jesus' name. Friends, you know, there are a lot of modern examples of the same kind of reaction that people have to the presentation of the Easter gospel. While it's not looked upon necessarily as a bad thing to talk in general terms about Jesus as a figure of history and as somebody who lived on earth long ago and was a renowned prophet, the speaking of Jesus as one who descended from heaven to live and to die and to rise for our salvation, who calls upon us to repent of our sins, to look to him for forgiveness and to trust in him alone, who is the resurrection and the life, still meets, doesn't it, with unrelenting, fierce opposition. And you talk about Jesus being the Savior from sin and death needs to get canceled, and those who dare to teach about this need to be stifled and maybe even imprisoned and killed. You're probably aware of reports in our mission fields and like in India and Myanmar and other places where Christians are bearing these crosses, being imprisoned and even killed just for talking about the risen Christ. We also see this animosity of the world expressed in the media, in academia, which frowns on Christians expressing their faith in the Lord Jesus as their living Redeemer. And we also see the hostility in the godless ideas and schools of thought that are being promoted widely, have been for a long time, like in evolutionism, which denies the existence of a creator God and the fall into sin and the need for a Savior. Secular humanism, which teaches that there's no right or wrong, and there's no judgment day before a judge before whom we'll stand, and that's why we needed Jesus to live and die and be raised for us. And in the disparaging of the Bible as an obsolete book, doesn't apply to us anymore. Sadly, even in the visible church, antipathy and animus towards the name of Jesus is present, even in Lutheran groups who say that it's questionable whether Jesus actually did rise from the dead physically on Easter morning, and to say the Bible's account of the resurrection of Jesus is a myth and not a factual event of history. We also, as Christians, want to recognize, we need to recognize our own antipathy towards the resurrection doctrine. What? You say? Me, a skeptic of the good news of Easter? Me, a Christian? Well, yes. Mustn't we confess, friends, to our shame and sorrow that our sinful flesh, which we still have, which clings to us at times and under certain circumstances, does balk against the counsel of the Lord's word to live no longer for ourselves, but for him who died for us and who rose again, that old Adam, stubborn, recalcitrant, opposed to the Lord's will, never will be converted, never will become pious or a lover of God. It tempts us, doesn't it, at times to stumble in faith in some days and in some situations to live just as though Jesus never rose from the dead and his body is still motoring in a grave. That's why the Lord calls us as his people to daily drown our old Adam and to crucify our flesh by contrition and repentance so that that new man, that spiritual part of us that the Holy Spirit created within us, may daily appear and arise, grow stronger, and live no longer for ourselves but for him who lived for us and died and rose for the praise of his name. And we rejoice as Christians, do we not, to know the Lord so blesses us, assures us of his forgiving love through Christ, enables us to say, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And we also praise the Lord. We want to praise his powerful name, the resurrected Savior, because it is indeed the name that was chosen by God himself. We read in our text these words of Peter during the interrogation by the Jewish High Council. Rulers of the people and elders, if we're being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means he's been healed, let it be known to all of you that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you builders, which has become the cornerstone. Peter was stressing that God was the one who selected Jesus to be the world's Savior, chose him, in fact, for this vitally important role even before he was conceived in the womb. And you may remember how he sent an angel down to Joseph at the time when he was wondering whether he should go ahead and marry Mary when he discovered she was pregnant, and said, do not fear, Joseph, to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she'll bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. So though this name of Jesus, was indeed rejected by men, hated by the builders, by the ecclesiastical hierarchy who ought to have been working to build God's house, his church, among the people, yet that scorned cornerstone was specifically chosen by the Lord himself. And he now still is the cornerstone of the church. We find joy as Christians, knowing our risen Redeemer is alive. He is our head. He is our one foundation on whom alone we build. He is the one to whom we look for direction in our lives as Christians, for strength amid life's storms and for stability in the contrary winds that blow against us and his church. And Jesus said, the gates of hell will never prevail against my church. Peter wrote in one of his letters later on these words of the Lord, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen, there's that word again, chosen and precious. And whoever believes in him, in the resurrected Lord, will not be put to shame. And that leads us to the last thought of our sermon, how this strong name of the resurrected Christ, the only name that saves. Peter informed his inquisitors, as we read in the final verse, there's salvation in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So this Jesus, he's the only Savior God has provided to rescue fallen sinners, something that his resurrection from the dead proves beyond a doubt's shadow. Are there false Christs, religious gurus who haven't arisen and succeeded in leading souls astray? Yes. Are there prophet frauds who have been proclaiming strange gospels for those with itching ears, for whom the simple message of Christ crucified and risen isn't exciting enough and considered not relevant for our modern day? Yes. But none of these humanly devised gospels packs power to save. They're like broken crutches that a lame man might try to use for stability, and if he leans on it, it'll cause him to fall and injure himself even worse. A couple examples of these crutches, there are many of them in the religious world, but one is, do your best to get right with God by living a moral life, keeping your nose clean, not living as badly as other people do, and in the end, you'll be saved. It all would be okay. Another crutch, matters not so much what you believe, just be sincere in what it is that you believe. But no, Jesus is our cornerstone. He gives strength and stability to his people, his church. The church shall never perish. Her dear Lord to defend, to guide, sustain, and nourish, and cherish is with her to the end. Though there be those that hate her and strive to see her fail, against both foe and traitor, she ever shall prevail. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Look always to his strong name for guidance, direction, and power. Power to help you crucify that old Adam, to put that down by repentance, so your new man may come forth and be strengthened, to lead you in worship of him with a glad and thankful heart, and to inspire you for cheerful service in his church, among his people. Because this is the name, the only name that's brought you into a loving relationship with your God, that relationship that will never be broken, so that your courage need never be shaken, and you never need fear that your living head, Christ, could rise but leave his people, his members, dead. No. Too closely are you bound by your hope to Christ forever. Faith's strong hand the rock has found, grasped it, and will leave it never. Even death thou cannot part from its Lord, the trusting heart. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit.
I invite you to rise for prayer. O God of all grace, mercy, and peace, We give you our worship and praise because you have declared Jesus to be your Son and our Savior by his resurrection from the dead. We thank you because you've given us the assurance that our faith stands upon a most true and solid record by the faithful testimony of the apostles and evangelists. We glorify your name for the marvelous gift of eternal life in your Son. Preserve and defend us, we pray, from all assaults upon our souls, so that we may hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering. Deliver us from doubt and despair. Save us from empty philosophies and worldly wisdom. Give us your wisdom, the spirit of truth, and the mind of Christ. Bless your church, that is, all those who place their trust alone in Christ, that we may faithfully proclaim your word and spread the gospel of our risen Savior with courage in all lands and places. Dear Lord, give special care and attention to all the schools of your church, to its colleges, seminaries, Christian day schools, and Sunday schools, that they may be and remain true to your word. Bless all our children and youth, wherever they may be. By the power of your word, ground our youth in your love, and move them by the gospel of forgiveness through Christ to serve you in their callings and to show forth their Savior by their lives of happy obedience to your word. Forgive now, O God, the sins of your people. Strengthen the doubting and the weak in faith. Bring back the forgetful and wayward, and comfort the anxious and the distressed. And as we go forth from this hallowed place this day, grant us your peace. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. We also join in praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.